نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement, amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. This week, inshallah ta'ala, we're with what we left off last week with the statement of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah, as translated, and that's his statement: we believe in the punishment of the grave, and we say the hawd and the mizan are true, and the sirat is true, and the ba'ath after death is true, and Allah Azza wa Jal will make His servants stand at the mawqif, and He will call the believers to account. Here, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, rahimahullah, he's mentioning as a part of the belief of the Muslims some of the affairs of the unseen, some of the affairs that will take place in the hereafter, after our death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes in the beginning of His book, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that those who are real believers, that they believe in the unseen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, this is a book, that is a book that there is no doubt in it, guidance for those who have taqwa, those who believe in the unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed this book as guidance for humanity, for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for those who believe in the unseen. And a part of the unseen is that which Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari had started off with today, and that's his statement, we believe in the punishment of the grave, as we haven't seen anyone being punished in his grave, and this is affair from the affairs of the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in many verses in the Quran, as He says in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 101, سَنُعَذِّبُهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and we will soon punish them with two punishments. We will soon punish them with two punishments, and then we will turn them to a painful chastisement. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says we will punish them with two punishments, that's the first punishment in this dunya. From disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that he can punish the people in this world, and that he's going to punish them in this world. And then the second punishment, it's the punishment in the grave. As the ulama of Islam explained from this ayah, that the other punishment is the punishment of the grave, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we will punish them with two punishments. The punishment of this dunya, and living in disbelief and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the punishment in the grave, and then we will turn them to the great punishment. And that's the punishment of the hellfire. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is hinting at, or is stating indirectly, the punishment in the grave. And this is from the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to save us from this punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghafir, verses 45 and 46, وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and we will give the punish, and we will the family of Pharaoh will have an evil punishment, and the hellfire will be presented to them in the morning and in the evening. And on Yom, and on the last hour, the family of Fir'aun will have a painful chastisement, or will have a more severe punishment. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two verses, He's showing that the family of Fir'aun, they're going to have a serious punishment for their disbelief and their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the hellfire will be presented to them in the morning and the evening. And this is when they're in the grave, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to show the people their place in the hellfire when they're in their grave, and this is a punishment of the grave, just knowing that you're going to get the hellfire. And then we're going to enter the family of Fir'aun to a more severe punishment, and that's the actual punishment of the hellfire. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the punishment of the grave, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, and this is from the beautiful expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is that the punishment is to let you know about your punishment. It's like the father, he's calling home, how is everything in the house? And then he hears some scuffling in the background, and they say, so-and-so broke the lamp. He said, put so-and-so on the phone. You broke that lamp? I told you to stay out of that room, didn't I? Didn't I? Wait till I get home after work. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. You can imagine all day long, the child is living in misery. His father didn't touch him yet. He didn't get home from work. Ain't nothing happening to him. You see him, he's walking around. And probably we remember when we were young, the same incident. And you can imagine how you used to feel. Man, I knew I shouldn't have did it. And you're just, everybody's playing. You can't play no more. Come on, Akhi, what's wrong? It's going to be all right. You just, we'll back you. We'll tell him it was a mistake, whatever. You don't want to hear it because you feel the punishment before the punishment takes place. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's showing the people, and it's not a joking matter, for those people who died in disbelief. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die on iman. But, and this is a statement that one of the brothers mentioned. Sometimes, as they say, one of these graveyards in East Orange, it just looks so old, the one back there behind 4th Ave. And sometimes when you go to the graveyard, you look at Mr. Kaffer died 1901, 18 such and such to 1901. Okay, you just think. The last hour hasn't been established. All those mushrikeen in the graves now, just knowing the hellfire is going to be there. You can imagine 100 years of misery, 300 years of misery, just knowing it's going to come. That feeling that you're going to be in your in the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says every morning and every evening, you know you're going to get it. And you don't know if it's going to be the evening because you don't know when it's going to come. But you're just saying subhanallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them their punishment in the hellfire in the morning and the evening. And this is from the punishment of the grave. This is a part of our belief, although unfortunately some of the Muslims, they don't believe in the punishment of the grave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks of it in His Quran, as we're seeing in these ayat. And this should be enough for us to turn to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and belief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to leave off our sins, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make our grave a place of misery. And it could be for 300 years and 500 years or whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes the hour. And no one wants to have his punishment to just be reminded of it before he gets it. And then we're going to see some people are actually going to get it too. You're going to get it in the grave and you're going to be reminded of the bigger punishment. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we're going to punish them twice. Once in this dunya in the grave. That they're going to get punished in the grave and they're going to be shown their punishment in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tur verses 45 to 47, فَذَرْهُمْ حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُسْعَقُونَ يوم لا يغني عنهم كيدهم شيئا وهم لا ينصرون وإن للذين ظلموا عذابا دون ذلك ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and leave them until that day when they meet the day when they're going to be resurrected. Leave them alone until they have their meeting on the day when they're resurrected. The day when their plots won't benefit them anything, nor will they be helped. They think that they're going to get over in the dunya by being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just enjoying themselves in this world, saying, I ain't going to burn in hell, or, I'm going to go to paradise because I'm an American, or whatever someone might say. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just saying, leave them alone until that day comes. The day when all of their plotting won't help them, nor will they have any help. Like they're going to want to give up their, kill my mother and let me go. Kill my brother and let me go. I'm going to ransom off my father. Take all my money. You can have all of my wealth. He's dead, he doesn't have anything, but he think he can ransom off something as if this plot is going to help him. But there's going to be no help for him. And indeed, those people who have wronged themselves by disbelief and disobedience, they're going to have a punishment less than that. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the punishment in the grave. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when they're resurrected and they get the real punishment of the hellfire. That it won't be any help for them. And for those people who wrong themselves by disbelief and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to have a punishment that's other than that. Or less than that, meaning the punishment that they get in the graves. But most of them don't know it. They think that when they're in the grave that it's okay. As one of the stupid mushrikeen, he told me one day, he's with the nation of kufr, and I told him to accept Islam. And he said, I said, accept Islam and save yourself. Because after you die, you're really going to see the punishment if you die on that stuff you're on. He said, you know what? I thought about what you've been saying. He works in the Pathmark on Bergen Street. And I used to try to call him to Islam, one of the workers. He said, you know what? Over these past months, I've been really thinking about what you've been saying. On turning to belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Him to save my soul in the hereafter. And he said, you know what? Just last week my uncle died and then it really came to me what you were saying. I told my uncle, come back and tell me what it's like. And he hasn't come back yet. It's been 1 week. Do you think he's ever coming back to tell me about that punishment? Do you think he's going to come back and tell anyone? So he said, until he comes back, I'm going to continue in my disbelief. This is the way of the disbeliever, and this is Allah's statement, but most of them don't know. But most of them don't know. They just don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir and Al-Qadir, and that He's able to do whatever He wants to do. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed us of what's going to take place in the hereafter. And if it wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us, none of us would know. But no one can say he doesn't know after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told him. But this is their statement, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but most of them don't know. When you ask them, don't you know you're going to be punished in the grave for that? No, I don't know that. But alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided us to this belief. And this belief of ours, it's the belief that we believe in and we call humanity to believe in, but this belief benefits us. Because every time, as I'm trying to mention for myself and for the believers, every time we reflect on parts of our belief, we should see the effects of it in our character and in our deen. And just imagine how you will be if you lived all day knowing that you could be punished in the grave for being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disbelieving in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It would be as if no one would be disobedient if they knew what was coming to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us to know what's coming to us, so let it affect us in our lives. Let it affect us in our lives. And let it not Allah's statement, which was in the khutbah the other week, but كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ Rather you disbelieve in the judgment day. Rather you disbelieve in the judgment day. And we said for the Muslims, the statement that you disbelieve, it isn't that we disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what's going to take place after our death, but we live our lives like we disbelieve. Why are we disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we know He can punish us in the grave and in the fire? This is the type of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has us to believe in, because we live our lives as if Allah won't hold us accountable on that day. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His safety. عن مسروق قال جاءت يهودي إلى عائشة رضي الله عنها تسألها فقالت لعائشة أعاذك الله من عذاب القبر فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسألته عائشة رضي الله عنها فقال عذاب القبر حق قالت عائشة فما سمعته بعد يصلي صلاة إلا تعوذ فيها من عذاب القبر. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and also Abu Dawood al-Qayalisi and others, where Masruq rahimahullah, he said that a Jewish lady came to Aisha radiallahu anha and she questioned her and she said, may Allah save you from the punishment of the grave. This is what the Jewish lady said. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and Aisha asked her, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the punishment of the grave is the truth. The punishment of the grave is true. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I never heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that make salat, except that he used to seek refuge in Allah in each salat from the punishment of the grave. Here we see in this story, and there are many stories similar to this, as the Jews and the Christians were once rightly guided until they went astray, when they left the guidance of their prophets. When they followed Musa, they were on guidance until the time went and they went astray. And then Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came to clarify the message and to put the people back on the Siratul Mustaqim, and the people were until they went astray. So some of the beliefs of the Jews and the Christians are correct. And the way we know if they're correct or not is if Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam confirm a particular belief of the Jew or the Christian, then it's correct. For example, we hear something from the Jews and the Christians. We say, do you know about that? I don't know about that. We look in the book of Allah, alayhi salatu was, we look in the book of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, or the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we find that confirmed in the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu was salam, then that statement of the Jew or the Christian is the truth. And the only way it can be confirmed is by the book of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't confirm what's in the Bible by saying, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds right. No, nothing sounds right is right. Necessarily, what is right is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, and what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. This is what is correct. As if anyone was asked, if you're wearing socks and you want to make wudu after you've been walking around, that you will wipe on the bottom of your socks. That would sound right. I mean, you walk on it. Wudu is to clean yourself and to purify yourself. The dirt is going to be on the bottom of your socks. You will wipe it off. But Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wipe over the top of his socks. So not necessarily everything goes in accordance with someone's intellect, but it has to be checked out by the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a point that we have to understand, that if the Jews and the Christians say something, if it is confirmed in the Quran or the sunnah, then it's the truth. If the Qur'an and the sunnah say that it's falsehood, then it's falsehood. If the Qur'an and the sunnah say it's falsehood, like the Trinity, they have the Trinity in the book. Alright, the Trinity is falsehood as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes it in many verses in the Qur'an. If the Jews or the Christians say a statement that's not confirmed in the book of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, nor is that statement rejected by the book of Allah, the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then we don't believe in it and we don't disbelieve in it as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. If that statement isn't confirmed or refuted by the Quran or the sunnah, then we don't believe in it or disbelieve in it. We don't believe in it because we might be believing in some falsehood, and we don't disbelieve in it because we might be denying the truth. And this is, as the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, taught us concerning those things that came by means of the Jews and the Christians, as we see in this story, that the Jewish lady, she said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah save you from the punishment of the grave. And we say to ourselves, may Allah save us from the punishment of the grave. The brothers in D.C. Are you listening in? And is it coming across loud enough, inshallah?
Yes, we got you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So here, the Jewish lady, she said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah save you from the punishment of the grave. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, she, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this statement of the Jewish lady about the punishment of the grave. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the punishment of the grave is true. So this is the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam that shows that the punishment of the grave is true and it's real. Not because the Jews and the Christians said it, but because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam confirmed it. And this is our outlook on everything that comes from the Jews and the Christians, that we check it out Islamically, and then if it's okay, then it's okay. And if it's not, then it's not. And if we don't know, then we just leave it alone. Yeah, we heard that. And we're not going to believe in it or disbelieve in it. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, she never heard him make salat except that he used to seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave after that time. And this is how we see this belief affect us in our lives, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam would never make salat unless he sought refuge in Allah from this. And this was the guidance, and this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, not only in this issue, but in all of the issues. When the Prophet saw the importance of something, he hung fast to that thing until he died alayhi salatu wasalam. And we should be the same way in our lives. Now that we know that there's something called the punishment of the grave, we should be doing our best to stay away from being punished in the grave, by firstly making the dua, O Allah, save us from the punishment of the grave, and then acting in accordance by belief and righteous deeds of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The brothers, you have to put your mute button on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many authentic hadith, he speaks about this punishment and the grave, and we're going to mention a few of them. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-'abdu idha wudi'a fi qabrihi wa tawalla wa dhahaba ashabuhu hatta annahu la yasma'u qar'an 'alihim ataahu malakani faqa'adahu fayaqulani lahu ma kunta taqulu fi hadha ar-rajuli Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam fayaqulu ashhadu annahu 'abdullahi wa rasuli annahu 'abdullahi wa rasuluhu." فيقال انظر إلى مقعدك من النار أبدلك الله به مقعدا من الجنة. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيراهما جميعا وأما الكافر المنافق فيقول لا أدري كنت أقول ما يقول الناس فيقال لا دريت ولا تليت ثم يضرب بمطرق من حديد ضربة بين أذنيه فيصيح صيحة يسمعها من يليه إلا الثقلين. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, when a servant of Allah is placed in the grave, and then the people who placed him in the grave are walking away, he can hear their footsteps, the dead person. He hears their footsteps until two angels come. And then they say to him, "What did you used to say about this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And they will say, "We bear witness," or "I bear witness, that he is Allah's slave and his messenger." So it will be said, "Look at your place in the hellfire. We replaced it with a place in Jannah." And this is for the believers. As far, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, they will see both of their places, their place in the hellfire and their place in Jannah, and they will know that they are going to Jannah and they're not going to the hellfire. And this is a reward. Just as we were given the example before of the punishment, it's like you're at home waiting for your father to come home and he says, Abi has some ice cream and I'm going to bring it home. Everybody has his flavor that he likes. And you can imagine the happiness of the family even before the father brings the ice cream there. And so it's almost, as you can say, I could just taste it already. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing the meaning closer to us, and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for us is greater than that. And Allah is only giving us something that is closer to our understanding so that we can see the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His believers. And you can imagine to know that you've been saved from that, how happy you will be. Just like the person who said, "You know, I was supposed to be on such and such of a flight. I got to the airport late and the plane crashed." And you just feel so happy. Man, that could have been me. And this is how, and you can imagine the happiness when you see that place in the hellfire. And knowing that it could have been you if you disobeyed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeyed Allah. And Allah said, "That place is no longer for you." This is your place in Jannah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a place in Jannah. As far as the kafir or the munafir, and here we can stop for a point to see the weak belief of some of the Muslims who don't understand the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, by thinking that the Jews and the Christians are going to Jannah. When they're in their grave and they're asked about that man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what are the Jews and Christians going to say? Except as it says in one of the narrations, ha 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 la adri. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ha ha ha, I don't know. That's all they're going to say. And as we see in this narration, as far as the kafir, he's going to say, I don't know. We used to say what the people said. That we used to hear the people say, Jesus is my personal savior, so we said it. I don't know whatever the Jews say, but we heard them say it. I was a little Jewish boy or girl. They raised me on that stuff. I heard them say it. I said it. This is going to be their statement. And this is clear that those people are going to be punished, because everyone's going to be asked about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahibu wa sallam. And this is for the people who came after him alayhi salatu wa sallam. As far as the Jews and the Christians and the people who came before the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, they're going to be judged according to what came to them. The people who came after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prophet and messenger to humanity, they're going to be questioned about him. Nobody can live and think they're not going to be questioned about the last prophet and messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as for the kafir and the munafiq, they're going to say, ha ha ha, I don't know, I heard the people say something, I said whatever they said. And then it will be said to them, you didn't understand and you didn't read. You didn't know and you didn't read. And here, it's going to be said to them. And this is the point that shows it's compulsory on all of humanity to know who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why the kafir should be teaching who is that man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of the schools in the world, in all of the newspapers in the world, and all of the magazines in the world, on every channel on the TV, at every movie theater, on every video, the people should be telling about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because nobody's going to escape death. And everyone's going to be questioned about that man. And then it's going to be said, if they don't know who he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they're just going to, it's going to be said to them when they say, ha ha ha, when they were supposed to say, Ashhadu annahu abdullah wa rasuluh, and they're going to say, ha ha ha, it's going to be said to them, you ain't understand, and you didn't read. You didn't know who he was, and you didn't know how to be obedient to him, and how to follow his sunnah. You didn't know that, nor did you try to find out. And this shows too, and this is glad tidings, inshallah ta'ala, for the believers, the masjid is here, walhamdulillah. And the believers are here trying to practice Islam. And it's upon everybody to come here. It's upon everybody to come here. I heard they got a place around there in East Orange somewhere. It's compulsory on everybody who are here. The Muslims got a place. It's compulsory on them to come here. Everybody don't come, they sinners. All these people in this neighborhood guilty. It's compulsory on them to come. They say the Muslims come in 5 times a day. They know it ain't no joke. Anybody who see it, if anything, they can say, they serious, at least. And this compulsory on them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, didn't wrong anyone. And what bigger sign do the people need to see people going to a place to worship their Lord so often? Except that it's a reminder for everybody in the area. Man, here come the cars again. I think it must be time for them to worship their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created all of them. No, this is for them. And if they don't take heed to it, then they're going to be punished because of it. It's compulsory on everybody. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it upon us to call the people to Islam. And it's our duty to go out and call them. And it's still their duty to find out. And nobody should think that the kafirs are over and that they're okay if we didn't go out.
Oh, Akhi, you ain't even call him to Islam. You saying he's going to be in the hellfire, you ain't call him. I know I ain't call him. He's still guilty. I got my share of not doing it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. And let there be a group from amongst you calling to al-khayr, calling to Islam. Tell me we don't have a group of Muslims calling to Islam. A group of Muslims, if a group calls to Islam and gives the da'wah to this deen, everybody else is okay, inshallah ta'ala. This giving the da'wah is farzun kifaya. In the sense that if some of the people are out giving the da'wah, then it is sufficient, everyone else is okay. This isn't this isn't negating the fact that everybody should give da'wah according to his means, and that it's upon each individual to call the people to the deen of Islam to the best of his ability, but so long as some people are doing it, it's okay. The people have been called, as we did this summer, alhamdulillah, even if it was a small effort, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us, that we called all of East Orange to Islam. And the ones who have accepted it, alhamdulillah, they are Muslim brothers and sisters. As far as the rest of them, they didn't accept Islam. We did our best, you know, East Orange, they have a code or something that you can't just put the flyers up on the poles or whatever, like we wanted to do to call them to Islam. So we had to do what we could do. And we called them to Islam, and those who wanted to accept, accepted. And it was only about 7 people, I think, that day who accepted Islam, and everybody else remained a kafir from among the kuffar, and they're going to be punished. And there's no escape for them. And sometimes we need to know this for ourselves firstly, and then we need to tell the people, listen, I ain't going to kill myself trying to call you to Islam. I'm just asking you, listen to the truth. You don't want to listen, that's okay with me. Because you're going to be asked about it. You're going to be asked about the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then you're going to say, nope, I didn't try to find out. I didn't know. Ha, ha, ha. And then you're going to get your punishment. So all we have to do is go to them. Can I show you the truth of Islam? No, I'm satisfied. Like just yesterday when I was traveling, and I was at the, what do you call that, the toll booth, and I asked the kafir, are you a Muslim? He says, no, I'm not a Muslim. I said, you want to be one, right? And you can be one right now. He said, no, I'm happy with what I'm on right now. This is the kufr of the kafir. Okay, tell me he didn't understand. Tell me if he die on that, he ain't guilty. People talking about you didn't present the da'wah to him good enough. He didn't get the details, all of that. Tell me he's not gonna. It's not gonna be said to him, la darayta wa la talayta. You didn't understand and you ain't try to find out. It's on them. Once you tell them, be a Muslim. It's on him to try to find out what is that deen of Islam. What is the truth that those people say they're on? It's compulsory on everybody. Now here, we're in America, everybody try to find out about everything else. Wallahi, it's like the nosiest country in the dunya. Wallahi, people listen to the news. The news is big business. Big business, the news is big business. You know why? Everybody want to know what's happening. The newspapers is a big business. Big business. They got, as you know, in the New York Times and stuff, they got the morning edition, that side of the town edition, evening edition. Because the people want to know what's going on. Why they don't want to know about the man they're going to be questioned about in their graves? They want to know about everything else. Stuff don't even concern them. Ain't none of your business. What's going on? They still want to know. Wallahi, akhi. And this is what we feel. Astaghfirullah. When we're traveling through the airport. What you come here for? We come to call the people to La ilaha illallah. What? We came to call the people to Islam. Do you want to be a Muslim? No, where you going? Who you going to be with? What hotel you in? How many days you staying? Stuff ain't got nothing to do with them. Where hotel we staying in? What that got to do with you? Nothing. You a calf. What hotel I'm staying in? What friends I'm going to be with? How long I'm going to be there? Did I buy any goods? How much they cost? All of this stuff. Are the goods for sale? Not for sale?
all of this questioning. They question you at the customs and all that stuff. They don't have no problem doing all this questioning. Why they don't question who is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you believe in and that you call into? Nobody, they see you coming in as a Muslim. They know you on the truth. They know you practicing Islam. Why don't they question you about Islam? Wallahi, we ain't been to no airport yet. Nowhere. No toll booth. All they want to ask is $1.55. Astaghfirullah. Car full of Muslims at the toll booth. They ask them for 35 cents. Astaghfirullah. Allah didn't wrong anyone. They wronged themselves. And this is why it's going to be said to them, you didn't understand and you didn't read. They didn't try to find out. It's on them. And they're going to be punished. And we shouldn't think that people won't be punished because they didn't try to seek out. And this is why we don't have to worry about somebody in Wisconsin somewhere that said, well, he never heard of Islam. He did so hear of Islam. He got a TV in Wisconsin and he got a newspaper. And he got magazines and everything else. They heard of Islam everywhere. Even the places that didn't hear of Islam heard of Islam. The places that didn't hear of Islam heard of Islam. Because it's on them. They have to say to themselves, what we doing out of here? We ain't hear nothing. If you... It sounds funny, but it's the truth. Wallahi, it sounds funny, but it's the truth. And some of the people who have accepted Islam in America, wallahi, people said it. Brother called on the phone, left a message. I had a spiritual dream. I don't know what it is, but I want to know about Islam. What in the world make him call the masjid and ask about Islam? Because he had a spiritual encounter. When people being born again every day. And the Jehovah Witnesses running down the street like fools, day and night. He have a spiritual dream. He call a masjid. He want to know about Islam. Where that come from? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we covered already, everybody has it in him. He got to worship Allah. He already bore witness. All of the children of Adam. Everybody bore witness. And when that call comes, I know it's time to get my life together. You know you have to be a Muslim. Everybody know they have to be a Muslim. And this is why you still have people saying, but I know Islam is right. I'm going to be a Muslim, inshallah. If they die before it happens, they're going to be in trouble like the rest of the people. But really, they don't have to tell us, I know it's the truth, because we already know before you know. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But they have to bear witness to it, and they're going to be held accountable, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety. Then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said they're going to be beat upside the head with an iron hammer. Right between their ears. That's on their head. Until they make a scream so loud that all of creation could hear it. Except mankind and the jinn. This is the punishment in the grave for disbelief. And we have to, in this should encourage us to give da'wah. And the people used to say, you sit in the masjid all the time and learn, when you're going to go out and do something. What we learn in the masjid encourages us to go out and do something. Here we know, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us, somebody die in that grave, you're going to be hit upside the head with an iron hammer that everything in creation could hear his scream. That's how loud he's going to scream from that blow he's going to get on Yawm al-Qiyamah. When you see a kafir, you should feel compelled. I gotta save him. I gotta call him to this deen. Knowing he's about to get hit with that. Wallahi, you see us, if you're just walking, you see a little boy run out in the street. Even if he's kafir, a lady, whatever. Just, look out, look out. Because you see a car coming. And you can imagine whoever among us has seen someone in an accident and you saw him get hit. And just how you felt. He got hit, and you just felt like, subhanAllah. If some of us have seen an accident, and you remember that feeling, subhanAllah, you just feel so bad, as almost as if you got hit. Imagine this type of blow, this type of no accident. This is going to be intentional. And the person is going to scream. And just like us, if you visit people in the hospital and you just see them like, oh, and you just feel so bad, and they're not even screaming loud enough. Imagine if you heard someone just scream at the top of his lungs. Everybody went outside. What's happening? This is enough to encourage us to call the people to this deen of al-Islam, because it's the truth. And it should be enough for us to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save ourselves from this. The kafir, he don't know all of the details. All he knows is he's supposed to be a Muslim and he's not supposed to be a kafir. That's all he knows. He doesn't know the details of what's going to take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah. All he knows is my Lord going to get me if I don't do right. That's it. But we know in detail what's going to take place if we don't do right. La ilaha. Every time I cover the belief of the Muslim, it just encourages me. And I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me of my sins and my shortcomings. But this is an encouragement to practice Islam and to stop half-stepping and to stop trying to get over. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold us accountable. And this thing is for real. And not just the Jannah and the hellfire, but this punishment in the grave. We could either be happy in our graves, or we can be punished. We can either be happy in our graves, or we can be punished. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us happy. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the other narration of Imam Muslim, adds with the same hadith, قَالَ قَتَادَ وَذَكَرَ لَنَا أَنَّهُ يُفْسَحُ لَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا يعني المؤمن وَيَمْلَوْ عَلَيْهِ خَضَرًا إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. At this narration, Qatada, he said, we were just mentioning this hadith on the punishment of the grave, and it was said that the believer, his grave would be as spacious as 70 virah. That's from, I think that's 2 feet, so I guess that's like 120 feet or something like that. This is how wide the grave would be of the believer, and it will be filled with khadarak. Yani, I don't know what you say. I don't know if to say a garden or... greenery.
Greenery.
You know, and for vegetables and fruits and just the trees. And this is just a general term that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is used the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this is going to be the grave of the believer, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die as believers. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى قَبْرَيْنِ فَقَالَ إِنَّهُمَا لِيُعَذِّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذِّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ بَلَى أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَسْعَى بِنَمِيمَةٍ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ يَسْتَتِرُ مِنْ بَوْلِهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ أَخَذَ عُودًا رَطَبًا فَكَسَّرَهُ بِاثْنَتَيْنِ ثم غرز كل واحد منهما على قبر ثم قال لعله يخفف عنهما ما لم ييأسا. And this hadith has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went past two graves, and he said that these two will be punished in their graves. But they won't be punished for a big sin. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, one of them is going to be punished because he used to spread namima. And namima is that you just carry the speech that you heard from one person and you carry it to someone else in order to spread corruption. No matter how good you seem it is, but you just want it to spread corruption. This is whether it's a lie or not a lie, it's the truth or whatever, but you're only spreading it in order to cause corruption. You know so-and-so, he said this. What? That? The one who spreads this namima, who just goes back carrying
the speech of the people around the people in order to cause fitna and corruption in the community, he's going to be punished in his grave for this. And as for the other one, he's going to be punished because he didn't he didn't keep himself, when he relieved himself, he didn't keep himself clean from his urine splashing back on him. And he's going to be punished. Then the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he got two moist pieces of wood, and then he broke it in half, he got a long piece of wood, and then he broke it in half, and then he put each piece on one piece on one of the graves, and another piece on the other grave, and then he said, I hope that this will lighten up their punishment so long as it doesn't dry out. Meaning so long as the branch was still fresh before it died out and dried out, that this would lighten up their punishment. So here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us the reality of this punishment of the grave, and that there's two sins that are amongst us that we can be punished if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive us, and if we don't try to get on top of things right now while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the chance. And I hope this is an encouragement for the plumbers amongst the Muslims to start building us, honestly, to start building us some bathrooms instead of these big kafir toilet bowls only built for kufr and filth. The mushrikeen are najis, and they build their toilets to keep them that way. Why do you think the kafirs built a toilet like that? Because they want it to be najis. And the Muslims, they should build their toilets in a way that's going to make it easier for us to keep the urine from splashing on us. The way we've seen in some of the bathrooms in some of the Muslim countries, which are different than this. It's just like a little hole in the ground. And in the beginning we say, man, look at that little hole in the ground. What you gonna do with that? But this is used to help keep the urine away from us instead of standing up like the kafirs. They stand up in these toilets on the wall where you just urinal where you just get it in and then it splashes back on you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Some of it sounds funny, but wallahi it ain't, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to punish the people for this. And we have to be careful when we relieve ourselves that we watch, you know, the splashing. Because people will be punished in their graves because of this. And we have to watch what news we spread of the believers. And sometimes, astaghfirullah, you see the brothers, they're hanging around. Nobody talking to him. But he's just kind of hanging around, seeing what he can get. Then he goes spread it. And this is real evil. And we can be punished for this. And I hear a lot of times the brothers just carrying stuff around, and everyone thinks that it's okay, but it's not okay. We're listening to stuff causing all kind of confusion, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish those people in the grave. The next hadith is the hadith of Imam Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, كان يعلمهم هذا الدعاء كما يعلم السورة من القرآن قولوا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach this dua the way that he used to teach a surah from the Quran. He used to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I command you to say, repeating after him alayhi salatu wasalam, O Allah, indeed we seek refuge in you from the punishment of Jahannam, from the punishment of the hellfire, and we seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. And we seek refuge in you from the fitna of Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal. And we seek refuge in you from the fitna of living and from the fitna of death. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to teach this dua like he used to teach the Qur'an. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min azabi jahannam. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ. And this hadith is the hadith of Muslim. And we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us to make this dua to save ourselves from this. And it should always be in our salat, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to do it. And I remember, astaghfirullah, last year when the brothers were discussing this issue, is it compulsory to seek refuge in Allah from these four things and the salat? Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to do it. The brothers were saying, nah, this is only sunnah. You don't have to do it. This is only sunnah. We say, nah, this is compulsory. The Prophet ﷺ commands us to do this. And the brother is saying, no, it's only sunnah. Meaning, you don't have to do it. How in the world can you know that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is giving you this guidance to save you from that painful chastisement? And you tell the people, Muslims, those brothers over there are extremists. They're commanding you to seek refuge in Allah from Jahannam. They're commanding you to seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. They're commanding you to seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. They're commanding you to seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of this life and death. Those brothers are extremists. You don't have to do that. Wallahi, how can a Muslim say that? I heard the brother say it out with my own ears. You almost want to say, akhi, are you a munafiq? Or are you that ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen? And this is the danger sometimes of always looking, do I have to do it? I don't have to do it. Is that wajib or not? All I want to know, is it wajib or not? Because sometimes you get so much into this wajib, not wajib, wajib, not wajib, wajib, not wajib, until you just don't do nothing. Because ain't nothing wajib, I ain't got to do that. That ain't wajib. Until you don't save yourself from the punishment. So now you don't ask Allah to save you from the punishment of the grave, then you get punished in your grave and you wondering why, when all you had to do was follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And what other guidance is better than the guidance of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam? And this is why I'm amazed at the people who say that somebody is extreme when he's teaching the people to do the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the first place, and then something that's going to benefit him. You can see if the people, like they teaching you all of that racism and stuff, you'd be all pumped up and happy that somebody's teaching you to be a racist. Yeah, brother bought it, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we'll bring him back again to pump us up with racism. To make you get all happy about racism that's not even going to benefit you. Then when something comes to benefit you from the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, you're talking about extreme. Wallahi, I wish we were extreme sometimes. To choke the people and make them do the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Because it would be better for him. At least everybody's been choked, you know, playing around when you've been growing up. At least after you get loose, you are alright. But how are you going to be if you never practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? And this is the amazement that you have to tell the Muslims, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. Let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. As you would think that the Muslims would be the ones that let the sunnah go forth. And even when we first had this logo printed on the coats, the kafir wanted it. Could I take one of those too? He wanted to just walk around and pump, let the sunnah go forth, because he said it looked so good. He said, I never made any type of embroidery that looked as good as let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. This is a kafir, and the Muslims ain't jumping on the sunnah. Tell me the sunnah don't look better than kufr. The sunnah don't look better than somebody else's style. And the people are calling people extreme because you call them to the sunnah. Wallahi, I wish, as it used to be, they used to just beat the people, make them practice Islam. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would just walk around with his durra. The durra, it used to be a little stick, about like a foot long or a little longer. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he just walk around, just checking stuff out. Beating the Muslims up, making them practice this deen. This was Umar radiallahu anhu. And this is why he's Al-Faruq. And no one considered Umar except to be the second best man of this ummah after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. This was Umar. Because he was putting the people on the sunnah, radiallahu an Umar. Umar put the people on the sunnah. Straighten, put your foot over like that. Put your foot next to his foot. Wallahi, the people should be happy if the people put him on the sunnah. Better than putting somebody and forcing them to make all kind of falsehood, like the American government do. They force you to be on kufr and falsehood and riba and all kind of stuff. They force you. This insurance stuff is gambling. They force you. We're going to lock in people up for not gambling. What you down for? I wasn't gambling. They locked me up. Wallahi haqqan. Even the brother, rahimahullah, Sheikh Sulaiman, Abdul Hadi, he went outside and he got locked up for dressing with a thobe and a turban. Told him, what are you doing? This was back in the 50s or something. Locked him up because he was making a public spectacle of himself. Because he was emulating the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahibu sallam. You can imagine the people saying, what you down for? Looking like the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm locked up for following the sunnah. Wallahi, we should be making the Muslims practice the sunnah.
Yes. I just want to give us a point of what you just said about Umar ibn al-Khattab. Like back in Africa, it used to be a time where there is one alim. You know, women used to go out without their khumar, so he have his whip. If he see you without your khumar, he whip you.
Allah.
So any place you go, you see everybody with his khumar.
Allahu Akbar.
So and they give him a name like, this is the teacher of whipping.
Ah.
So anytime they see it, they make all the women use with their khumar all the time. So,
it keeps on happening like that. MashaAllah. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me like him. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the brother was just giving an example of this time in Africa where they had a sheikh that used to just go around. Make sure the women got their khimars on right. Make sure the people on the sunnah, if not, beat them. And whenever he come, people is on the sunnah. And wallahi, this used to be the example of some of the ulama, as we mentioned, Ali ibn al-Madini, wherever he went, the sunnah came with him. Wherever he went, if Ali ibn al-Madini walked into the town became on the sunnah. Because he was in town. And when he left, then the people went back to their deviance and corruption. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me amongst these type of people that call to the sunnah and put the people on the sunnah. Ameen. This should be like this, and there's no harm. People say, "Akhi, don't force me to do it." I'm forcing you because it's better for you. I'm forcing you because it's better for you. People force you on other stuff wasn't no good for you. People force you to do it. We went to school; they made us learn all of these kafir fairy tales for nothing. Christmas, Halloween, and made us celebrate all of this kufr. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to Islam, we was little boys and girls, they made us stand up and salute some flag for all of the crimes that they committed, made us do all of that stuff. And here we are trying to make people do that which is correct, and they fighting us. They should have fought them when they had them standing up, making them saluting the flag, they wasn't fighting them. Making them go fight for a land that fought them. Like some of the people used to say in the days of nationalism, violent as a wild animal in Korea and Vietnam and all over the world, and come back home, people pouring coffee on you, sicking dogs on you, hosing you down. You talking about we shall overcome and turn in the other cheek. Wallahi haqqan. And this is in Islam. We know how we was in Jahiliyyah. Did anything people tell us to do wrong, we did it. Hun, take this poison stick and smoke it. Okay, I just like it. Now he hooked on it. Hooked on poison. Saying, yeah, I know it ain't no good for me, but it's good to me. Or whatever expressions that the people use. And now somebody come to force something good on him. Then he crying. Wallahi, the people used to force alcohol on us. We act like we don't remember yesterday. Oh, he corny. Nigga ain't down. Get out of here. He can't even drink nothing. Ya akhi, wallahi. Remember, the people act like you a punk, you ain't steal nothing. Steal that. Now you soft. It's not for, I don't know if all the brothers. You remember that time like that. Wallahi, it was like that. You be in a party, the girl on you and stuff, brothers tell you fornicate with her. You know, you crazy. Man, nigga, I don't know what's up with him, man. He might. You know, just because he's, yahi, all of that stuff, most of, a lot of them sins we did in Jahiliya, it was because of peer pressure. It forced that old whack on us, and we did it. Now somebody ain't even forcing the sunnah on you, recommending softly, and then we crying. SubhanAllah al-Azim. Yes, Akhi.
Yes, Brother Imam. In regards to this thing concerning the sunnah that's been forced, and I'm looking at throughout traveling different places, not so much, but it's a very large amount percentage-wise of sunnahs not being practiced, such as the feet being close together and things of that nature. And there's a lot of brothers and masjids and things going around where there's the hadith is not even considered, you know?
No.
And my point is that, you know, how can we here, and how many of us are here, are there any other masjids like this around? It's the only ones. Are we the only ones doing the same thing?
Allah Mustaan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sincere and humble and make us successful and following the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But it's sad that the people run from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam and run to that which will earn them the punishment in the grave. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us the to get serious, as there was a lot of laughing with us in today's class, but that this issue of the punishment of the grave is a serious issue, and it's real, and some people are going to get it, and some people are going to be blessed with enjoyment in their grave, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people.
Amen.
And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us among the people who are going to be punished in the graves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let this beautiful belief, the aqeedah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the aqeedah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari, and the scholars of Islam, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this belief more beloved to us, and to increase us in this belief, and to have this belief to affect us in our character and our deed. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Maybe there is one last comment. And this is the comment that I mentioned before in the other classes. Let's try to think about our belief sometimes during the day and to let it have an impact on us. Not just at the time of the class, but this is for us to learn and to get down our beliefs. And then other times when we're at work, we have a couple of minutes. Maybe we can reflect on a point or two or three of the belief of the Muslims and to start remembering some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, to know the reward that we can get for belief and obedience, and to know the punishment that we can get for disbelief and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So I just want to remind myself and the brothers that this belief that we hold, let's not just let it stay with us while we're in class, but that we carry it with us throughout our day, at our workplaces, and in our homes, and everywhere. Because this is the belief of the Muslim. Alhamdulillah. I don't know if the brothers have any questions that are listening in from DC. If so, and if not, then we'll end the class, inshallah ta'ala. Yes.
Regarding the grave, and as I'm understanding it, is an existence. It's like a life of the grave, Hayatu Barzakhiyah.
Yes.
Is the language we're going to be asked from the angels? Is the language of that existence going to be the language of the Quran, because it appears, you know, from the Hadith, it's going to be the language, the Arabic language.
The brother is asking, in that life that we have, as you have your life on earth, then you have your life in the grave, then you have your life either in Jannah or in the hellfire, and that life in the grave, is the language going to be the language of the Quran, Arabic, when you're in your grave? If I'm correct, it's like that, and if I'm not, astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha ghayru. But I thought I remember one of the ulama saying, it's going to be bigger than that. This thing is going to be bigger than that. Bigger than even worrying about what language. The only thing that someone would be worrying about is one thing. Am I going to get a happy place in that grave? And it's going to be wide and spacious and a place of enjoyment because I believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I was obedient to Him. Or it's going to be a place of misery because of my disbelief and my disobedience in Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And he compared it to this example of Aisha. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when everybody's standing in the mawqif, everybody, all of humanity is together, barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, men and women. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's going to be bigger than that. Here you can imagine here in this dunya, we all naked. I'm gonna be standing next to the women. I might not even be worried about my account if it's gonna be like that. Men and women, nobody got clothes on. But the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told her it's going to be greater than that. And when we think of the affairs of the hereafter, we should look at them in light of the greatness of those affairs and the seriousness of it, of either going this way or that way. And to really let this have a bigger impact on us right now in our lives. To do good before that time comes. Because whatever the language is, everybody's going to understand. When the angels come to him, he's going to understand. And whatever answer he gives is going to be understood what he's saying. And if it's good, he's going to be okay. And if not, he's going to be finished. And this is why I was laughing, because in Arabic, you know, they're writing the Arabic words that say, ha, ha, ha. And it's like in any language, when you don't know what you're talking about, if it's, I don't know, whatever. No, I ain't never heard of that. Whatever someone answers, and whatever language he answers to show, he don't know what's going on, he in trouble. And believe me, it's not going to be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as said from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that there won't be no translator between you and your Lord. No interpreter between you and your Lord. Just straight up one-on-one. Your deeds and your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Ghafur al-Rahim. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His mercy on us and to make us feel the weightiness of what's going to take place right now before it's too late. As next week, inshallah, we might try to get a chance to come to some of the hadith that are going to show the statement of everybody. Give me one more chance. We all have our one more chance right now. Everybody has it. Either we're going to take advantage of it, or it's going to be over. Like Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, you're just lying. You don't want more one more chance. And we know in the dunya too, the same way. Somebody beat you for some money, now he want another loan. What first thing you going to say to him, akhi? Yeah, no matter how much money I give you, I know what you going to do. Yeah, I know you said, no, I'm going to do right this time. Yeah, I know you're going to do right. You're going to do right without my money. And on that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knows the nature of the people. That you lying when you say, give me another chance. Because when Islam came to you, and the truth came to you, that was your one more chance. Why you didn't act like it? Every time it comes to you, you disobey Allah. And then when the Yawm al-Qiyamah comes and you see the hellfire, and you see it's over with, now you really want that one more chance. We have our one more chance, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful and take advantage of it. Yes,
Is that one more chance in reference to the person, the disbeliever who did the studying on Islam and didn't accept it?
I don't understand the question exactly.
Opposed to a disbeliever who did not go out and seek the spirit of Islam.
No, this is in general. Everyone who dies on disbelief, when he sees the punishment, he want to come back to the dunya and worship Allah. Really, they're going to try to worship Allah right there. When they see the hellfire, they're going to fall down in prostration. And their back going to be straight like a pencil. They're just going to fall flat. You know, like those, we used to have them when we was little. The little punching bag for the children. The clown. You punch it, it just come back up. Punch it, come back up. It just can't prostrate. It don't bend, it don't do nothing. It just boom, boom. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make the backs of the disbelievers, because they're going to want to worship, but it's just too late. It's no worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then. This is just them. This is like in this dunya. Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more fear of Him. When you see those flashing lights in your mirror, in your rear view mirror, you know how you feel? Man, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have done it. And when He come up, all you doing is hoping for the mercy. Let me go. I knew I was. If He let me go, I ain't doing it no more. And this is in the dunya, in the hereafter, you can imagine. Because here, you're going to get another chance, inshallah ta'ala. Fine you for $50 a ticket or whatever. But it's just that feeling of, if He let me go, He ain't going to catch me again. At least on this street, I'm going to watch it or whatever. This is how the disbelievers are going to feel when they see the punishment of the hellfire. They're going to wish, man, I knew it. I knew it. I should have, would have, could have. And it's too late. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die on Iman.
What are going to happen when these believers get wrong information? Because all over the world, the information about Islam got to be wrong. Like fanatic people who tell wrong about us. What are going to happen to people with misunderstood about information?
From the Muslims.
Yeah.
The brother is asking, what about the Muslims who misunderstood information? What's going to take place with them? The Muslims who misunderstand, there are two types, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The first type is the Muslim who's mistaken. He's sincere, he wants to follow the truth, and he's mistaken because nobody's perfected. Nobody's perfect except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-Muhsin. So the mistakes from the Muslims who make them, and they're sincerely trying to follow that which is correct, they're going to be forgiven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold them accountable for it. Rather, Allah will reward them. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمْ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا أَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. From the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, that if a person, if the one trying to get an Islamic verdict, if he's correct, he's rewarded twice with two rewards. And if he's incorrect, he's rewarded one time. And the ulama, they explained that he's rewarded two times if he's correct, because he was right, and he was sincere in trying to be right. If he's wrong, he's rewarded one time for sincerely trying to be right. Though he's wrong, he didn't get the reward because he was wrong, but he got the reward for trying to follow that which was correct. So this goes for some of the Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those Muslims, that we try to follow the truth sincerely, and that if we ever fall into error, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks us because we only wanted to do what's right. The other group of the Muslims who are sincerely following wrong information. They're sincerely following wrong information. They don't want to follow which truth. And I'm going to use the word sincere on both of them, because everyone's going to call those deviants sincere. He sincerely wants to be wrong, because he know who he's following doesn't have any knowledge. He know the stuff he's reading sound crazy. All of them. The Sufis. They tell you to recite such and such 10,000 times, you'll be rewarded such and such. You black out. Where was that? I was on 8,971 where I just fell. Yeah, he knows that stuff is wrong, but he just wants to stay on it. sincerely following falsehood because it feels good to him. And this is a lot of the Muslims. When you try to call him what's right, he says, I just have an emotional attachment to that falsehood. I know it's wrong, but everybody's wrong. I know it's wrong, everybody. You right on everything? Nope. See? So he uses that as an excuse to be wrong himself. And this is for a lot of the Muslims. As one of the brothers, he put it, he just said, people know for a certainty he's wrong. Just like the brother told me. Wallahi, we were wrong. I'm going to come back and do what's right. Then he go back and do wrong again. What you doing, akhi? You just told us that you know those drugs were wrong. Now we see you are drunk. Why are you drunk? Astaghfirullah. He just know it. And this is on some of the deviance that the Muslims are involved in. They know it's wrong. But they like it and they're engaged in it and they're going to be punished for it. And we're going to mention this, inshallah ta'ala, on the point of our belief in the hold of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as the people who practice bid'ah are going to be chased away. They know what's going on. They know they're wrong. Because the sunnah is right. You tell them, put your foot next to his. He says, I don't like to do that. You tell him the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to straighten the rows like this. Wallahi, everywhere, like the brother said, everywhere people don't put their feet together. You say, how in the world could the Muslims almost all agree on falsehood? How could they? And among them, like for the example, the Jama'at al-Tabligh, who in the Arab countries, they read Riyad al-Salihin, who has a whole chapter on putting your feet together. But because the Jama'at al-Tabligh follows the Hanafi Madhab, and in the Hanafi Madhab they have don't put your feet together, you find a whole group of people who read Riyad al-Salihin and read the chapter and then don't practice it. They know what they're doing. How when you read the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and you practice other than that, you know what you're doing. Because when the people say, akhi, do this, you say, why should I do that? You say, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, do it. First thing he says, I don't have to do it. The Prophet ﷺ was just encouraging it, or showing we should. Anyway, whatever they. This is the biggest enemy of the Sunnah is the word sometimes from the deviants, Sunnah. They use the Sunnah, the word Sunnah, as a tool to practice, not to practice Islam. Akhi, why are you not doing that? Because that's only Sunnah. That's only sunnah. He said, yeah, I don't have to do that. And this is the case of a lot of Muslims when you call them to practice Islam. Like I was saying, astaghfirullah, when the brothers were saying, talk to so-and-so, advise so-and-so. I said, listen, we were in school in Al-Madina. And brothers didn't go to the masjid. I heard about it. And I knew I didn't see the brothers in the masjid. But the masjid is big. So you say, okay, that brother's back there. You just happen not to see him in the masjid. Or like they do in America. Or he was probably at another masjid. Until one night, I spent the night with one of the brothers. American brother in the University of Medina. We got up for Fajr. We make him wudu. He's going slow. So his roommate said, he ain't going to the masjid. So you better tell him to go to the masjid. So the American brother, he told you to tell me to go to the masjid. He don't need to keep telling me to go to the masjid. It's sunnah. He don't need to tell you to tell me to go to the masjid, and he need to stop bothering me with go to the masjid because it's only sunnah. Here go American brother, accept Islam from Jahiliyyah, studying in the university, and he's saying he don't have to go to the masjid because it's sunnah. And they used to use sunnah not to do everything. And this is a shame that the people, and they brought this mentality back with them to the States. And you see the Muslims not practicing Islam in the name of the Sunnah. That's why we said let the Sunnah go forth and don't stop it. Don't keep using the Sunnah to stop practicing the Sunnah. Why don't you practice the Sunnah? Because it's only Sunnah. Wallahi, that's what he's doing. Why you don't do such and such? Because it's Sunnah. Ya akhi, it's just amazing that the people can say he's not doing it because it's sunnah. And this is a lot of the Muslims. You tell him, akhi, why are you in that deviant group? Follow the sunnah. He says, it's only sunnah. It's only sunnah that I stay away from this deviance. As the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to stay away from all of those groups. On the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. As authentic as the sun is shining in the sky. Why do people don't accept it and leave their groups when the hadith come? I told a brother, listen. Will you leave that stupid, foolish group if I bring you a hadith? He said, yeah. I bring him the hadith. He said, that's only Sunnah. Ya akhi la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That ain't compulsory. It's only Sunnah. Meaning he's saying it's only recommended to leave that. Wallahi, this is foolishness on the tongues of many of the Muslims. Those Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them, but they're going to be under the will of Allah. If He wants to punish them, He will. And if He wants to forgive them, He will. Because of being wrong. So some Muslims that are wrong, or as I used to say, not every Muslim that is wrong is guilty. You could be wrong trying to follow the truth, and you made a mistake, and you'll be okay, inshallah ta'ala. Then you're wrong, and you know it, and you like it, and then you're guilty. So you see the difference where some people are intentionally wrong, and other people are mistakenly wrong. If you're intentionally wrong, then you're guilty, and if you're not, you're otherwise. I would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us mistakenly wrong. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, for ourselves and for whoever listens, that anything, inshallah ta'ala, with myself or with this masjid that's not in accordance with the sunnah, just let the people bring it so we can practice it. Because we don't want to say that everything in this masjid and myself and everybody is practicing everything from the sunnah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us when He said, فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't sanctify yourselves. Allah knows best who fears Him. No one is saying that everything we do is correct. We're making one statement. We're the people of the sunnah, inshallah ta'ala, and we want to follow the sunnah, and we want our masjid to be masjid ahli sunnah, where the people follow the sunnah. When you look at us as a jama'ah or as individuals, you're going to see things in opposition to the sunnah. And this is where the nasiha comes in, that we advise one another with that which is best and correct from Islam so that we can practice it. And I told some of the deviant Muslims who are around in the area, bring the sunnah to us so we can practice it. Because nothing will make us more happy than to get on the minbar and to say, we used to do such and such yesterday, and it was wrong. And the deviants brought us the sunnah, and we practiced it. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Because the deviants, they can point the finger at you to practice the sunnah, but they're not going to practice it. They can point the finger, but they're not going to practice it. But inshallah, if they point the finger, it'll benefit us. Because inshallah, we're not too arrogant to accept the truth. And the truth is from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or from the book of His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and not from the wisdom of the deviants. I've never heard a deviant with wisdom. That is the truth that will benefit us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.